This episode of Love to Sew is sponsored by Spoonflower. The first company of its kind, Spoonflower was launched in 2008 in Durham, North Carolina, with the dream of empowering individuals to create, print, and sell their own artwork on fabric, wallpaper, and gift wrap.
Today, the Spoonflower community has grown to over 4 million creative individuals who use their own designs and the Spoonflower marketplace to make curtains, quilts, clothing, accessories, furniture, and so much more. And with more than 750,000 designs available, there's something for everyone. Go to spoonflower.com to learn more. That's spoonflower.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is the podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community. And I am clearly sick today.
Today we are talking about making something just for fun, throwing caution to the wind and cutting into that fancy fabric you have been saving for a special occasion. We talk about our favorite frosting queens, what kinds of projects work best for special fabrics, and what we're planning on making this holiday season.
Let's sew something fancy.
Frosting.
So frosting.
I always want to say it like frosting.
Frosting.
Frosting. Oh.
Hi, Helen. I just wanted to send you an email to say hello. And also, I really would love to meet up sometime. Is that weird? I hope not. I love reading your blog, and I'm totally into meeting someone new in Vancouver who loves to sew. Maybe coffee or something more sewing related? We could cut out projects at Spool of Thread or something. Just throwing ideas out there. I'm totally open. Have a great weekend, Caroline.
Hi, Caroline. It's absolutely not weird. Thanks for getting in touch. I've been meaning to follow up after we made tentative plans on Instagram. Smiley emoji. I seriously need more real-life sewing friends because I think I'm venturing into the realm of obsessed. At least I'm sure that is how it looks like to my friends and family. Also, I have been friend-crushing on you for a while now, and then you commented on my blog that you're also 28. Then, full disclosure, I had a dream that we went to a Nathaniel Ratliff concert together, and it was amazing. This was after binge-watching your Skillshare course. This was after binge watching your Skillshare course, so I guess you were still in my head. Now that is weird. By now, I'm sure you think I'm insane, but if you still want to meet up, I think that would be rad. I'm sorry. Coffee is good. Maybe we could meet at Matchstick by Spool of Thread, grab a coffee and chat, and then go work on something for a bit. I love that idea. How does using the space there work? I work Monday to Thursday, 9 to 5, so Fridays and weekends are good for me. Thanks again for following up. Enjoy the sunshine.
You just say Helen at the end.
Helen. Sincerely and not at all creepily. Helen.
So those emails were written in May 2016.
May 2016 at 4:20 p.m.
4:20 p.m., Caroline wrote. I went back through my emails and found our original correspondence, and we thought it would be really fun to read it on the show.
It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
I mean, we weren't exaggerating about the level of like excessive kind of creepiness that I put into this email. I just finished binge watching your Skillshare course, and I made lots of notes about you, and I have like pictures of you on my wall with little like strings like, on everything about your life.
Oh my god!
I'm not gonna murder you. I promise.
No, I was so into it though. I was like, yeah, let's meet up. I mean, clearly, I also had a girl crush on you. So,
friend crushes.
But it's an interesting follow up to our meetups episode, because we were talking about how people can just like just put it out there, just send an email and see what people will say. And then I found this email and I was like, we have to read it to our listeners. So
it's pretty amazing.
Just goes to show you never know what's going to happen when you reach out to somebody that you think is cool. You might end up, I don't know, working on a project together and ending up spending a whole lot of time together like we are. And that could be really fun. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so apologies for my voice, everybody. I got sick, so now I'm recovering.
Yeah.
And we'll see how long that lasts.
And you're feeling better, but you still have a sore throat.
I'm feeling better, not 100%, but better, and my throat is still recovering. So
the timing is not ideal because we have 7 recordings coming up in the next week.
Yes. But... I know. So we have this bright idea these days to batch record. So we've been trying to like sort of put all the recordings within a 1 week period for the next month or so that we can sort of get everything done quickly and then give Sam a lot of time to edit and all of that. But the timing is a little bit off on this one, I think.
So you might be hearing the sick voice a couple of times.
Yeah, for like the next 2 months.
But don't worry, Caroline's not going to be sick for 2 months.
I'm ready. Okay, Helen, let's do some catch up. What you been up to, girl?
Well, I am doing a curvy sewing survey.
Woo! I'm so proud of you. Proud of you for all of this. Tell our listeners.
So I am planning to extend the size range for Helen's Closet in 2019, and I'm so excited about it. Right now we go up to a 20-22, and I really want to go beyond that. I haven't decided exactly where it's going to end, but that's why I'm doing the survey. I'm trying to collect information from you, my customers, and people in the community about what you're looking for in an extended size range, how I can best accommodate the most people, and how I can really serve you with the patterns. And so I'm doing this survey to get information. And I really hope that if you're willing, you'll participate. Anyone can take the survey. It's not just for people who are outside my current range. I would love for everyone to take the survey. Give me all the information. Give me all the thoughts you have. And I'm asking things about like preferences when it comes to naming systems. Like, for example, do you prefer the term curvy or plus size? Or would you rather that there were no distinctions at all? You know, just a full blend of sizes, no distinctions. Do you like if things are numbered, or do you prefer it if they are lettered? All that kind of stuff. Like, there's so many different decisions to be made here. And I realized when I started the process and got the ball rolling that I had all of these question marks and I didn't have definitive answers. And then I thought, well, I should just ask, you know, I don't have to pretend that I have all the answers. I can just go to the community and I can ask and get the information that I need. And I'm sure there's going to be a variety of responses to all of these questions and differing opinions, but it'll be really interesting to hear what you have to say on the subject. And we can talk about it on the show as well, which will be really cool to talk about the results of this survey. And the other thing I'm interested in knowing is which of my patterns people are interested in seeing the extended size range for, because I'm probably going to be rolling this out in stages. I'm a one-woman show, so things do tend to take some time. So I am going to be extending the size range for my current patterns as well as future patterns, but it's probably not going to happen all at once. So I'd love to hear which patterns you're most excited about. And I'm also collecting measurements. It is optional to provide your measurements. You don't have to, but it's really valuable information for me to help me make sure that the patterns are going to fit you the best that they can. And so it would be so helpful if you guys took my survey. Again, anyone at any size can take it. And I want to hear all your thoughts so I can make the best decisions.
That's awesome. I want to know what made you decide to go ahead and extend your size range, because you've been thinking about it for a long time, but it's just such a huge project. But what sort of like put you over the edge?
Well, it's been a process. I'd say that it probably goes back to one particular pattern that I started developing over a year ago that I've been still working on and will be coming out this spring with the extended size range that I'm really excited about. But when I was testing it, you know, the people on the upper end of the size range were kind of struggling to get the right fit. And it just got me thinking about how I have all of these people in my tester group who are at the top end of my range. You and I are at the top end of my range. You know, I have all these women in my life who are at the top end or above that wouldn't be able to fit into my range. I mean, regardless of whether or not people sew, they can't fit into the range, you know, like my own family members, my own partner, if he were a sewist, would not fit into my size range. You know, it's just, it's frustrating to me to think that I can't provide an inclusive environment for people, even people in my own life who are, you know, my loved ones that I cherish, It just doesn't sit right with me. And it's something that I have been thinking about doing, but the more that I start contemplating, you know, my role in this community and what I want to stand for and what we stand for here on the podcast, which is, you know, body positivity and inclusivity and trying to make sure that, you know, we are including everybody and encouraging everybody, that I need to do that with my pattern line. I need to base the line on my own values. And so the decision became clear through all of that contemplation. And being a part of this community has really changed, I think, the way that I feel about beauty and about how women should look. And we've talked about this a bit before, but like growing up, you know, you see just advertisements and models and women on television and music videos, and they all look so different than how you look. And it's really hard. There's this disconnect, and you have these unrealistic expectations of beauty and how you're supposed to look. And it's so frustrating because you can't achieve that. And it really skews your perception of beauty and what that means. But being a part of this community now, what I see when I open my social media and what I see in my community are women who look like me and women who have flaws and women who are embracing their bodies and are feeling confident and creative and passionate and excited and are just living their lives and being amazing and beautiful just the way they are. And that's really changed my thinking around beauty and around fashion. And it's gotten to the point where I'm even more frustrated than ever with the ready-to-wear fashion world and the way that it represents beauty and women. And I can't shop in the ready-to-wear fashion world anymore either, because at a size 18, you know, I can't go to a store and buy a pair of pants anymore. You know, it just doesn't fit anymore. And that's really frustrating. And so it's nice to be able to sew. And it's great if you do know how to sew, but not everybody does. And it seems insane to me when I look in the mirror and I just see a regular person that I can't buy clothes, that clothes aren't made for me, you know? Then like, I don't really see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. And I think the decision to extend your size range to me is such an, like, it feels like such a natural progression for your business. And it's nice for me to hear and for our listeners to hear that it's coming from a really genuine place, from a really personal place. And I think, you know, you can do it, girl. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm really proud of you for taking this on, because it's clear that it's really important to you. So
yeah,
good job.
And I think it's the future of the sewing industry. And I would encourage other designers out there to consider it as well, because I do think that this is where things are headed. And I encourage other people to jump on the bandwagon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Me too.
So fill out my survey. We're going to be talking openly about the results of that survey. I'll probably do a blog post highlighting some of the results of that survey so that we can all learn from it and participate in it. And I'm really excited about it.
Yay.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Awesome. We will. Yeah, that's amazing. I'm so excited for you.
That was a long ramble, but I get to talk this episode because you have a sore throat.
I know. I'm going to try to keep my cash up really short.
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
Well, I turned 30 last week, which was really exciting. I got to go home to Montreal with my partner, Shay, and spend some time with family and celebrate with them. And then I got sick on my birthday, actually. I got sick, which is a bit of a downer, but not letting it bring me down. I feel good about 30, and I'm starting to feel better now, so it's all good. But during all of that, while all that was happening, it was also our Black Friday sale, which has been our best sale ever, which is so exciting. We got so many orders. I'm so thrilled about it, and my team is working extremely hard. I feel a little bit bad that I haven't been in the office because I've been so sick, but
nobody wants a sick person in the office.
No, exactly. And exactly. I don't want to get anybody sick. So they've been working really hard on getting all the orders shipped out, and we've had the chance to really like take advantage of the new space that we have, which has been awesome. So that's been really good. And I also wanted to say something on here. Take advantage of the fact that we have this amazing platform, because I noticed something on Instagram recently, and I've been noticing it more and more, and I thought this would be the right place to talk about it with you, Helen. But basically, over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed a lot of people that I follow, you know, a good handful of people that I follow, coming on Instagram stories and doing a great story, you know, talking to their followers about whatever they're talking about, sewing related or not, and apologizing for the way that they look. Like the first thing that they say is like, hey guys, I'm on here, but like, sorry about my face, or like, I have a pimple, or I'm breaking out, or my hair is messy, or I look disgusting. I'm like apologizing for the way that they look. And these are things that I didn't even notice, you know, before they said anything. And even after they said anything, I was like, what are you even talking about? You're beautiful. So I just wanted to say, I hope that we can like foster a place on Instagram where people don't feel like they need to apologize for the way that they look. Because I don't want to apologize for the way that I look every time I come on Instagram stories. I think that everybody that I follow is beautiful and amazing. And I don't think that we should feel the need to apologize for the realness that is life, you know?
I'm always really bad about apologizing for mess.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's so messy.
But even then, like, I don't think we should apologize for anything on Instagram. Yeah. It's like, this is the whole point of Instagram stories, I think, is to give a glimpse into real life, like what your daily life is like. And I love seeing people hop on when their hair is messy or it's like not a perfect day or whatever. Like, I think that that's totally cool. And I don't know, I feel like we should all just try to make an effort to not apologize for just like the regular, just be for who you are. Like, don't apologize for the way that you look on any given day, because I think that that's just like, that's real life, you know? Yeah,
I totally agree. And I think it has a negative impact that you might not realize, which is if someone else is also breaking out, but maybe they're breaking out worse than you, then when you say, sorry, I have a pimple, and they have pimples all over their face, it makes them feel worse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's not to diminish, like, we all have our insecurities. And like, sure, a lot of the time I put my face on Instagram stories and I'm like, oh God, like, I'm red and splotchy, everyone's gonna see it. But like, it's not, I'm not saying, you know, don't feel that way because you feel how you feel, but like apologizing for it publicly on Instagram stories, I feel like, yeah, it's going to make other people maybe feel bad. And it's just not, I don't think it's productive, you know? So
it's a hard thing to stop doing.
It is a hard thing to stop doing.
With you. And I think we can try and make an effort.
Yeah.
At least you and I can make an effort.
Yeah, we can make
an
effort.
If anyone wants to join us.
Exactly. If anyone wants to join us. I don't want to make anyone feel bad. I'm honestly just saying this because I think that like everybody in our community we're all such like amazing, beautiful, incredible, talented, glowing people that are passionate about what they're doing. And like, why waste our time apologizing for the way that we look?
You know?
So you're all gorgeous.
I love it.
Okay. Another milestone that we hit this month. We talked about it on Instagram stories, but
we hit 1 million downloads.
Woo! We hit 1 million downloads. 1 million. Doesn't that feel like a powerful number?
It does. 1 million downloads.
1 million downloads.
That's pretty exciting.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading.
Yes, yeah.
And we also wanted to say thank you for everyone who watched and commented on our hashtag handmade hustle that we did on Instagram. It's in our feed if you want to go and watch it. And the handmade hustle was started by Katie Cortman. And she does these amazing dances when she completes a project and she tags them hashtag handmade hustle. They're awesome. You gotta go check her out. Like, for real, you gotta go check it out.
Really do. We're gonna link her in the show notes. And it's fun because she does these challenges. So it's like, I think it's every week she's doing these like rounds of the handmade hustle. So you can submit your video of you dancing in your handmade clothes. And then she picks a winner and she partners with different companies to give away little prizes and stuff. But it's not about the prizes. It's not about who wins. It's about just, you know, watching and loving on all of these hilarious and amazing videos of people dancing. And we kind of did it on a whim. I was like, Helen, do you want to do this? Our hair was done because we were taking some photos for something, and I was like, do you want to do a handmade hustle? And we were like, okay. And it was like 5 p.m. we were about to go home, and we did it, and Sam filmed it, and it was one of the most fun things I've done in a really long time.
It was so much fun.
Completely unrehearsed. I'm going to say we did not rehearse it, but when you at look all. Back, you think that we did because we like did some moves together that totally look like they were planned out, but yeah. They weren't, I swear.
I know, it's true. We didn't rehearse. We were just in sync, I guess.
Yeah, we have good dancing chemistry.
And you do not need to know how to dance to do a handmade hustle. That's really not the point. The more ridiculous you look, the better, actually. So, I mean, it's not mandatory, but if you guys want to contribute to the hashtag handmade hustle, that would make my day because it's my favorite hashtag. And when I'm feeling low, I just go and watch handmade hustles and it's the best pick me up ever.
It really, really is. All right.
Oh, this is a new thing that I didn't ask you about.
No, I love it. Okay. I read it. I
had this idea when I was going through our stats that it would be really fun to say hi to listeners in different countries because we do have listeners all over the world in so many different countries. So I thought it would be fun every time we do a Just Us episode to say hi to our listeners in different countries. So today we're saying hi to our listeners in Algeria.
Woo!
And in addition to saying hi, I thought it'd be fun to do a quick fun fact about the country that we're talking about. So Algeria is in Africa across the Mediterranean Sea from Spain and France. And did you know that Algeria is the 10th largest country in the world?
I did not know that. Thank you for that fun fact.
So hi, Algeria.
Hello. Okay, we are rambling. Sorry, guys. We're like 20 minutes in. We haven't gotten to the topic and we still have questions and feedback. So hang in there.
Woof. Okay, there's been something that's been making the rounds on Facebook in sewing communities. And it's this picture of someone taking the end off a thread spool and being like, when did you learn you could take the end off a thread spool? And then all the comments are like, what? Like, this is crazy. I also didn't know that. So there's like that little... that section of the thread spool that's kind of like grippy and notched that you kind of wind your thread into to make it stay when you're not using it. You can actually just pull on that end. The whole thing comes off. And then there's this little compartment inside where you stick your needles, supposedly. I don't think I would ever do that personally, but I do think it's a cool tip because sometimes when you wind your thread up in that grippy section, it gets stuck in there.
It's hard to get out.
And it's hard to get out. So all you have to do is just pull off the end and it all comes loose.
I love it. I love it.
Hot tip of the day.
Hot tip. We should do like a little video of it on Instagram.
Pulling it out.
Yeah.
I went immediately to my thread drawer and started pulling the ends off all the spools and be like, oh, this one does it and this one does it. And so even the big ones do it.
They all do it.
They all do it.
They all do it. Okay. They all do it, guys.
They all do it. All the Gutermans do anyway. That's the brand I have the most of. So.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Mind blown.
I feel like you're more excited about this.
Oh, yeah. So when I told you about it, you were like, so? You're like so unimpressed.
Sorry. You were probably waiting for me to be like, mind blown.
Our listeners are going to be excited, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys get excited, at least for Helen.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's get to some questions.
Okay. Our question for this episode is from Julie. Do any of your podcast episodes contain profanity? I teach fashion design for high school and would love to play your episodes while my students sew during class, but may not have the time to pre-screen all of it. I just wanted to see if you have an easy answer so I know they're appropriate for a class. Thank you. Well, Julie, this is an excellent question. The answer is no, we do not have any profanity on our podcasts. We're a clean podcast. You have to decide when you're making a podcast if you're going to be clean or, I guess, dirty.
Explicit.
Explicit.
Oh, they called it in by the book today. They called it barnyard language.
Oh.
Have you ever heard that before?
No, they use a lot of it, though.
Yeah, they were like, this episode contains barnyard language. I was like, I have never heard that before. No barnyard language on Love to Sew.
No, and we decided to do that because we know a lot of people are at home with their kids or maybe want to listen in the car with their kids, and we just thought it would be easier on everybody if we kept the profanity out of it. So you can absolutely play it for your students. We have a local sewing home ec teacher, Denise. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Who plays the podcast for her students and they love it. So
hi, Denise and Denise's class.
Yeah.
No, that's super awesome. I love the idea of a high school home ec class listening to our show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it really is. Okay, we have some feedback today as well. So the first piece of feedback we wanted to mention is that we got an email just letting us know that we forgot to mention the American Sewing Guild during our meetups episode, which is totally true. Apologies for that. So The American Sewing Guild is, they have chapters all over the US, and I believe there are some in Canada as well. And it's just a place where sewing people meet up. And I believe that you can go to their website and find out more about whether or not there's a place in your community where you can meet up. But this is a really great resource for those of you looking to meet local sewing peeps.
Yeah, we'll put some links in the show notes.
Yes. And our next piece of feedback is from Mari. So Helen and I were talking about washable silk and trying to figure out what makes a silk washable. And Mary kind of schooled us on that very promptly. She said, some silks stain when they get wet, even with just water. So a washable silk is one that doesn't stain when washed in water.
Good tip.
There you go. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be careful with your iron around silks because you can end up splashing water onto them and staining them when you're ironing them. So yeah. Gotta be cautious.
And during our episode with Carolyn Norman, where we were talking about sewing hashtags for people of color, we mentioned POC who sews, person of color who sews, as a hashtag. But we didn't say who started that hashtag. So we just wanted to give a little shout out to Candace Ayala. And so that's at Candace Ayala on Instagram. And she is the one who started that hashtag.
Go Candace. All right, we have a couple of longer feedbacks and I'm going to read them to spare you, Caroline.
Yeah, I'm going to put a throat lozenge in my mouth while you do that.
The first one is from Marlies. Good morning, ladies. This morning when I was driving to work, I listened to your meetup episode. I thought it was very inspiring. I also went to a few meetups here in the Netherlands. Sewing people are indeed the best people, and I'm so glad to have a lot of creative friends through sewing. On my first meetup, the host put a little green sticker in the corner of our name tags, like a little green dot. I don't know if the saying is the same in English, but in Dutch, when you are new and inexperienced, they call you green. Well, it is the same in English. It was very helpful because the other participants could see it was your first time and they really made an extra effort to make you comfortable. Starting a little talk or explaining how things are working, the other guests also had little sticker dots on their name tags, just different colors, so you didn't feel like you were the only labeled person. The hosts had gold stars. For me, it was a really nice detail and maybe a helpful tip for someone else. Love your podcast.
I love this idea. I feel like we should totally do this at our next meetup.
Yeah, I could see how it would be really helpful for everybody to know. Okay, and our next piece of feedback is from Callie. I just wanted to follow up your sewing meetups episode with another kind of sewing meetup. I have been involved in getting the Ottawa Garment Guild up and running over the last year. We're like a quilt guild, but we focus on garment making. We have monthly meetings, which consist of guest speakers, a sewing SOS segment where members can ask a question about a sewing project, a fabric talk, a pattern of the month, and a sew and tell segment. Members also stick around for a bit after the meeting to hang out and chat with each other. We've managed to bring together over 50 regular members every month, even though we just started in March 2018, and we're looking forward to growing in the coming years and hopefully branching out with other guilds in other cities. Thank you so much for your podcast. It's absolutely my favorite part of every Tuesday, and I've learned so much. Lots of Ottawa Garment Guild members love your podcast too, and it comes up at least once at each of our meetings. Thank you, Callie, for writing in, and thank you, Marlies, for writing in as well. We really appreciate getting feedback from you guys, and you can always email us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com.
Yeah, I love getting your emails. We love getting your emails. Yeah.
Caroline says I because she manages the inbox. So if you get a reply, it's from Caroline.
It's from Caroline, yeah.
I read them. This episode is brought to you by Spoonflower. Looking for that last minute gift idea for the sewist who has it all? The new Spoonflower Quick Sew Project Book was created with them in mind, featuring 30 plus DIYs organized by the size of fabric needed. From swatches and fat quarters to 1 yard and multi-yard projects, this book will be your new go-to resource for unique projects for your home, your wardrobe, and your kids. There's something for every fabric lover, now available at spoonflower.com.
They also have this cool gift idea on their blog right now. Turn your favorite family recipe into a custom tea towel for a loved one.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes. There are 20 plus available fabrics, so you can find just the right fabric for every project, plus gift wrap and wallpaper, including their fan favorite peel and stick wallpaper that is removable and repositionable. Not all peel and sticks are alike, and theirs is 100% recyclable.
Also, there are no minimums, and you can order a swatch for just $5. You can receive 15% off your next Spoonflower fabric, wallpaper, and gift wrap order. Go to try.spoonflower.com/love to sew and enter your email address to receive your coupon code. That's try.spoonflower.com/love to sew.
All right, we're ready to talk about sewing some frosting.
Yeah.
I love this topic so much.
Me too. And this whole episode was inspired by the hashtag SewFrosting, which has been happening in the community. It's a challenge that was started by Heather from Closet Case Patterns and Kelly from True Bias, two of our favorite ladies. And they are encouraging us as a community to sew frosting during the months of October and November. And we know we're a little bit late with this episode because we missed it. But it's still in time for you to make that beautiful holiday outfit or New Year's outfit, whatever it is that you're making frosting for. It's not too late.
Yeah. So the challenge is over.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to fit this episode in before the end of the year because I think it's perfect for those of you out there that are maybe thinking about sewing a holiday dress, New Year's Eve party dress. We're getting into that season where, you know, we get to wear all those sparkly, shiny, fluffy things.
Yeah. So what is frosting?
Okay. So this is pretty cool because I was like around in the sewing community when all of this was happening. So I can speak a little bit from like personal experience. But so back in 2010, 2011, the term frosting and cake was coined by our friend Tassia. Tassia was blogging on her blog called Sewaholic back then, and she had quite a following. And one day she was talking about how she was making too many floral, colorful dresses, party dresses, that kind of thing. And she was calling those things frosting. And I think the blog post at the time was actually titled Too Much Frosting, Not Enough Cake, because she was making all of this frosting, but she wanted to make more basics, more cake. And that's how the frosting and cake sort of terminology came about.
This is almost the opposite of that, then.
I know. So this is kind of the opposite. So a couple of months back, Kelly from True Bias sort of unearthed those terms again. And she was talking on Instagram, and what she was talking about really resonated with me. So she was basically saying that over the past 8-ish years, there's been a shift in the sewing community away from those more risky sort of party dresses, the more, I don't know, how do you describe them? Like frosting.
The going out stuff.
The stuff that's not necessarily wearable every day on the day-to-day for most of us.
The fancy pants.
And people are sewing more and more basic wearable garments, which I think is great. That focus on sustainability, making garments that are going to be wearable in the day-to-day and that are going to last a really long time is really important. But I think that has also maybe stifled our creativity a little bit over the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about this on the show before. You wouldn't tell a painter or fine artist to stop making art, right? And in a way, as sewists, we are artists. We are, you know, fueling our creativity with sewing, and maybe those basic garments aren't doing that creativity justice. So one thing that Kelly said that I really loved was, I don't just sew to clothe my body. Like, yes, I am clothing my body, but that's not the only reason why I'm doing it. I'm also doing it because it's a creative practice for me and it's a fulfilling practice for me. And I think that you need to take those risks to keep the excitement alive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I have been working my way away from those more risky garments. And I think that also happens naturally in a progression of a sewist. When you first get into sewing, you're drawn to prints and fun fabrics, and you want to try all the things, and you want to make one of everything, and really get out there with your personal style and with the things that you're making. And it can be a little disheartening when you find yourself not wearing those garments so much, and you start thinking about, oh, well, actually, I really just want to make basic black dresses and pants so I can wear them in my everyday. And it's a natural flow that happens where you go away from those more novelty prints and fun fabrics. But I think as lovers of textiles and of design, we want to make those things still. We stash those kinds of fabrics. We put them into our collections. We're saving them for a special occasion, or we're saving them for that moment when we feel like we're going to let ourselves make something fancy. Well, that moment is here.
That moment is here. Yeah, I think I really love the idea of almost like a palate cleanser of, you know, you're doing that sort of day-to-day sewing basics, sewing things that are wearable, sewing things that fit into your wardrobe. But once in a while, why not get a little crazy?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be complicated either. That's what I really love about the way that they're approaching this challenge. And you can go to the hashtag SoFrosting and see all of the entries and all the things that people have made. And it doesn't mean going crazy and making a dress that has 5,000 pattern pieces and all of this different, you know, seaming and design elements. It can just mean using a fancy fabric. Heather made Amy jumpsuit from a velvet, and it's a super simple pattern, but you do it in a velvet and it's like, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous. So it doesn't have to be complicated just mm-hmm. because it's frosting. And mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, me too. So our goal for this short and sweet episode, we want to keep it short and encouraging, is, you know, the sew frosting challenge is over, but that doesn't mean that we should stop sewing frosting. So we want to encourage you to go out of your comfort zone, make something fun and exciting that doesn't necessarily fill a hole in your wardrobe,
but it fills a hole in your creative heart. Did you write that?
Yeah, I did.
Is that weird? I do not remember writing that. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, so more think statement, not basic.
Yes.
And go with your gut. Like, open your fabric closet or your fabric bin or your fabric pile and have a look at it and try to pinpoint those fabrics that have been sitting there that are just a little bit fancy. You know, maybe they have some gold or some like metallic elements, or they're, you know, fuzzy or textured, sparkly.
We have ideas. We have a list of ideas for you.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah, we do. Okay.
So we're going to go through
I'm getting ahead of myself.
But we wanted to talk about, do we remember like when we first got into sewing, and where were we making more bold choices back then? And we kind of touched on this already, but
yes,
I want to hear about this from you.
I think I was making bolder choices for sure. I mean, when I first got back into sewing, I went to our local fabric store, which specializes in quilting cotton primarily, and I was just obsessed with all of the prints. You know, like, I did that classic beginner garment sewing thing where you go to the quilting store and you look at all the quilting prints and you pick the most outrageous one you can find and you make yourself a top. And it was really fun, and it's quilting cotton, so it's easy to sew. So in some ways, you know, it's actually a pretty good choice, even though it doesn't result in the most wearable garment. But I also, you know, I just really enjoyed the process of thinking about how I was going to pair this crazy print with this crazy print and make a top and a skirt that were going to somehow go together and be beautiful and be like nothing you would ever find in a store. You know, like, my goal was to be like the opposite of a store. Mission accomplished.
I feel like we should go back and dig up some pictures. Like, I definitely have one picture in mind of something that I made, like an animal print blouse. Like, yeah. I would never wear an animal print blouse today.
Animal print is all
that's
the rage.
True. It's coming back. But I feel like we should find some like old frosting photos of things that we made back in the day and put them on Instagram or something.
I wasn't buying like sequined fabric. Mm. It was more the crazy prints that were attracting me, and I definitely have a lot of those in my old blog archives, so I can dig up some things.
Yeah.
So, and now I'm a lot more drawn to the neutrals. A lot of the stuff that you stock in your store, it's the best place to go for neutral fabric. So good. But you also got all of this fun stuff in right now because you're encouraging the frosting trend, and I know you have some animal prints and some, but you have some velvet
brocades.
And those are so much fun, and I have a few pieces in my stash. But yeah, I do remember that feeling, and I remember going to the fabric store and just being drawn to all of the cool fabrics. You know, I don't want to look at beige linen.
Yeah.
Like, I want to look at sequined lace. It's
yeah.
Much more interesting to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, back when I was in fashion school, everyone just wore black all the time. Like, it was not cool to wear color. So I got into like the black and gray, and like, I wore a lot of those colors or non-colors when I was in fashion school. And then I got a job for a textile company right out of school, and I was surrounded by all of these like incredible prints and fabric, and I went like a little bit nuts. Like, I bought these like crazy floral silks and like all kinds of fabric because I got a discount, and I was like, oh my God, like, these are the most amazing fabrics. And I was no longer surrounded by all those like, you know, boring fashion school people. So I was like, I'm gonna dress crazier. So I wore a lot more prints during that time in my life. And then even at the beginning of my business, when I started my business, I was convinced that like solids wouldn't sell online. I was like, I'm not gonna be able to sell solid fabrics online. People need like prints and colors and things that are gonna draw them in if they're gonna be buying online. Like, it's so hard to know what a fabric looks like when you're just looking at a solid. And then over time, as I introduced solids to the shop, I realized that that is really what people want to wear more and more in the sewing community, especially as my business has evolved. Now, most of my business is just selling basics. But it is fun to bring in those more crazy, fun fabrics once in a while. And we do try to stock some prints regularly. But yeah, it's kind of interesting how that evolution has happened in the sewing community, in my own wardrobe. And now I'm back to, you know, the neutrals in my own wardrobe as well. Yeah. So the idea of sewing frosting is pretty enticing.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a couple times of year where I think people get excited about fun fabrics. And one of them is this time of year, because there's a lot of holiday events around this time of year that you're going to be going to. So you have an excuse to wear something really fun. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice incentive to make something that's a little more out there. And then again, in like June, July, when summer's coming around, people are get really excited about fun prints and summer prints. Not so much like velvets and sequins, but just bold prints you can get away with in the summer. Get away with. I mean, it's more, I don't know, normal. That seems weird to say, but
get away with.
It's true. If you look around when you're out in the world,
oh, yeah,
most people are wearing navy, black, beige.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very exciting out there.
No,
but we don't have to be boring.
No, being boring is boring. Being boring is boring.
Being boring is boring. Quote Caroline Somos.
I'll put that on a t-shirt.
Okay, so what are some fun things that people could make?
Okay,
oh, or use or do? Oh,
yeah. Okay, so some ideas for frosting.
Yes.
Okay. A fun print.
Yes.
So we have a few animal prints in the Blackbird shop right now. And it's kind of hard to find right now in the textile world. Like, I've been trying to source some animal prints and it's a little bit more difficult to find with my supplier network.
It's a fine line between like a subtle animal print and a really garish animal print.
Oh, yeah.
So I can imagine it's difficult finding one that suits your brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm on the hunt. I've got my eyes peeled because I feel like even the spring, like animal print is going to be popular.
Yeah. So I think so too.
Yeah. What else? Velvet.
Oh my gosh. Stretch or non-stretch. There's two different types of velvet. Both of them are amazing.
Yeah.
Really fun to work with. Somewhat tricky, but just look up some tips for sewing with velvet and you'll be good to go.
Yes, I think probably the most popular velvet that you'll find out there is a stretch velvet. So that's something that you could use for like even a t-shirt or a bodysuit. I have a really awesome velvet Pinterest board because we have some stretch velvets in the shop that Laura worked on with all these pattern ideas and ready to wear inspiration. So I'm going to have Sam link it in the show notes because it's really inspiring. This Pinterest board, I'm like obsessed with it. She like color coordinated it. So it's like
she's
a gradient.
She's good at those Pinterest
I know
boards.
She's so good at Pinterest. Yeah. Thank you, Laura. But yeah, so stretch velvet is probably the most popular one that you'll see out there, but you can also find silk velvet. Usually it's not all silk. It's a silk rayon blend, generally more rayon than silk, but that is like a totally different beast. It's drapey. It's like just buttery soft and gorgeous, 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 but it frays like crazy. It's a little bit difficult to work with. So you're going to want to look up tips for working with velvet, especially if you're working with a silk velvet. And then you'll also find like those cotton velvets that generally are more for like upholstery or soft furnishings, but you can make like a really cool blazer out of a cotton velvet.
Yeah. So that's the fun thing with frosting is that you're not going to necessarily be wearing it all the time. So you can take a bit more of a risk with your fabric choice and maybe use a polyester or something that like you're going to like, oh, I'll suffer through an evening of being a little sweaty if I get to wear this velvet blazer.
Yeah, I feel like you can even like broaden your search in the fabric store. Like, go check out the home decor fabrics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are some cool, shiny brocades and like fun
couch fabrics.
Yeah. Like, and make yourself like a pencil skirt or like a
structured
like a jacket.
Like, the paper cut pattern Sapporo coat would be really fun in an upholstery fabric because it holds its shape so well. Yeah. I'm working on my frosting project, which is a pair of Winslow culottes out of this. I should show you the fabric and get you to identify what it is. It's kind of like a corduroy velvet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw it in
fuzzy
stories.
Yeah. And it has the whales, like corduroy does. And I think it's a polyester. But anyway, it's kind of a metallic shiny fabric that's not going to be, wouldn't be comfortable for everyday wear, but for an evening, you know, I probably wear it to my family's tree trimming.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Tree trimming.
I know.
Oh,
we trimmed the tree. All of the decorations we put on the tree were made by me and my sister when we were children.
Oh my God.
It's like covering a tree in like garbage. They're so bad.
My parents' tree is also just like, I'm like, Mom, why did you keep this?
Yeah, why did you keep this
weird?
It's like a pine cone with googly eyes glued on it. Yeah. You're like, why?
Are you going to have a tree in your house this year?
Yeah, we have we're not allowed to have real trees in our apartment building because it's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
But we do have a little mini plastic tree that we put up and we have some decorations.
Oh, cute. Yeah we'll Shay and I have a tree too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Science
Moving
tangent.
On. Okay, the next thing you can do is use that wild or expensive fabric that you have in your stash. So we're thinking silk, sequins, brocade, cashmere.
Yeah.
Just look at your stash and use that fabric that you've kind of been avoiding because you know it's a little bit extra.
Or you invested in it. You know, sometimes those more fancy fabrics are more expensive. And those ones I find tend to linger in my stash because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to cut into them. I'm afraid of messing it up. I don't want to waste all of the money that I spent on it. But sitting in your fabric collection is also, you know, not the best use of it, right? So you might as well just use it. Make a muslin of the project and that will help you, you know, feel more confident in your project that you've chosen.
Yes. Love it. Okay. Faux fur.
Faux fur.
I'm into the faux fur trend that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I want to source some faux furs for my shop, even though I think the girls are going to kill me if they have to start cutting faux fur fabric orders.
Because it's going to it's going to get everywhere.
I know it's going to get everywhere, but maybe a select few would be fun.
Yes. One of my favorite faux fur projects is from Kat Makes. Kat made this crazy bright pink faux fur jacket. It's on her blog and her Instagram. We'll link that in the show notes. I just love it so much.
It is super inspiring. I love it too. Okay. Lace is a really good option for so frosting because it is something that you're not going to wear every single day. Lace is kind of special, so you can go with a stretch lace and make yourself like a crazy lace bodysuit or something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Or you can go with something a little bit more delicate and, you know, something a little bit fancier and more expensive, a lace with like a scalloped edge that you can sort of use more couture techniques with.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a nice opportunity to practice some hand sewing. You can make the seams seamless, blending them together by sewing them by hand. So it's kind of a fun opportunity to expand your sewing horizons as well. And you can also do something really simple, like just choosing a color that is outside of your comfort zone. If you're wearing black and gray every day, maybe you want to make a bright red dress for the holidays, something that's a statement.
Yes. Or you can keep it equally simple and just try out a shape or a silhouette that you haven't tried before. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're more of a fit and flare kind of gal, but you want to try out like a cocoon shape or something like that.
Yeah. So, or a bell sleeve on a sweater, something dramatic like that.
I love bell sleeves.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back.
Second year.
Amazing. Yeah. And then another way that you can sort of incorporate some so frosting into your wardrobe is experimenting with couture techniques. So trying a little bit more hand sewing in your sewing practice or making a garment that is, you know, just incorporating more of those complicated techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some embellishment. Sewing on some sequins or some beading would be really fun, or adding more structure to your garment using some tailoring techniques. That's a good way to do a little secret frosting.
Yeah, a beautiful coat.
Inside frosting.
In a bright color with some awesome tailoring. I love that.
I think if you're like shy of frosting because you're really sure that you're never going to wear it, you could just do it on the inside. That's a fun way to join in and not have to commit to wearing something really bold. You can make your basic black coat and then line it with gold.
Yeah. I love it.
And it's a really fun opportunity as well to try out a new pattern or a new pattern company to you, something out there that's exciting you. So what have we seen out there recently?
Ooh, so True Bias just came out with her Salida skirt. And I really love this skirt because it has all of these beautiful style lines in it. So it's a gored skirt. It's got all these pieces and there's a really beautiful yoke piecing happening on that skirt. And you can do the long, meaty, like fluttery length, or you can do the mini skirt length.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much opportunity to make something like this skirt really special. So you can add piping to your seams. You could use different fabrics for color blocking. It's great. You could use
like a cool corduroy.
Yeah, or velvet, like a non-stretch velvet would work really well. Yeah. So there are some really amazing opportunities to make this one really cool.
Mm-hmm. The other one that comes to mind is the Deer and Doe Magnolia dress. It's a pretty recent release, very dramatic. They did a beautiful photo shoot for their latest collection. Also very dramatic. Go yes. check that out. But a great opportunity to use a more slippery fabric or a fun, bold print, rayon challis or a silk, something exciting. And it's got dramatic sleeves.
Oh, yeah. Long length. Gorgeous maxi length. Mm-hmm. I think any beautiful large scale print would just shine in this pattern. I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make one of those. Paper Cut Patterns came out with a new collection recently, and it is amazing. There are a lot of patterns in there that would work great for frosting, but we particularly love the Sierra jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I just got it printed in copy shop format and I'm going to muslin it.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it up. Ooh, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think jumpsuits are another great opportunity to sew frosting because I don't think jumpsuits are necessarily something that everyone is going to wear every day.
Well, unless you're Jessica, but...
Yeah, right. Jessica rocking the jumpsuit all the time. But no, I really think that that would be a cool way for you to like try out a new style, maybe try out a bright fabric and sew some frosting, make a jumpsuit.
Yeah, another jumpsuit that came out recently that's really cool is the Alice and Co. Intrepid Boiler jumpsuit.
Yes.
I'm loving the sort of... I don't know. It's almost got like a mechanic vibe to it.
Yeah, I know. Some people have sent me that pattern because I talked about trying to make a mechanics jumpsuit.
Yeah, but you said it's not quite. It's still not quite right.
I'm like waiting for the right pattern. I know it's going to come out, but it's not quite what I had envisioned.
So yeah.
I'm gonna hold off and wait. But thank you everyone for continuing to send me their suggestions.
It is a very cool pattern.
It is very, very cool.
And then of course you can make a really fun frock for the holidays. And there's lots of pattern companies that have fun party dresses in their line. So you can check out By Hand London, loads of dresses to choose from there. Sew Over It also has a ton of options. Cashmere Patterns has some amazing dresses and they go up to a size 28. And Victory Patterns is one of my favorite Canadian designers who has some awesome dress patterns. That Trina kimono dress, just every time I look at the product photos for that, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is really stunning. That's the one on the beach, right?
The purple. Beach and like... it's like a light blue silk.
I love it. Love it. Okay, we also thought we could round up a little bit of frosting inspiration for you guys because it might be a little bit difficult to envision how you can incorporate frosting into your wardrobe, but there are some sewists out there that do a really great job with it. Some just wear frosting all the time. Their just whole wardrobe is frosting.
Owning it.
Who are we thinking for this?
Well, an obvious person is Una Baluna, the patron saint of frosting. We had her on the show, Marcy Harrell. She's a wonderful person and sewist. So you can go check out her episode and then go check her out online and see all the amazing things that she's wearing.
Yes, I love Marcy's style. It's crazy, 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 but it's definitely a place you can look to for inspiration. Okay, Katie Cortman. I feel like we keep mentioning Katie, but she's so cool.
Katie's episode.
I know. I really just want to be her friend in real life. But she has the coolest wardrobe. Yeah. She is not afraid of color. In fact, she only wears bright colors, and she has these different ways that she incorporates bright colors into more neutral. So she's made like these navy things with like bright neon pink accents and just so much great inspiration in there. So go check out her Instagram. I mean, you have to do that anyways to go see the Handmade Hustle.
Yeah.
but Go check out her Instagram.
Another person that comes to mind is Aliza Lex. Aliza Lex is one of the designers behind By Hand London. So it's no surprise that she loves a good dress, loves a good dramatic pair of pants or, you know, some kind of dramatic sleeve. I mean, she's always rocking something cool. Yeah.
She's so glamorous.
She's very glamorous. I know. Very glamorous.
I mean, your style, Aliza Lex.
We would be remiss if we did not mention Mimi G. She makes the coolest stuff. Every time her blog comes up in my feed and I go check it out, I'm like, what? Where are you wearing? I mean, I don't. It's pretty wild, some of the stuff. And it's so much fun to see her making it and wearing it. And she does such a good job modeling it. I mean, it's just endless inspiration over there on Mimi G.
I love her. Side note, her and Norris just got engaged.
Oh, congrats, you two.
Yeah.
And she's a past guest as well, so you can check out her episode.
Yes. Another past guest is Erica Bunker. Erica Bunker.
DIY style. Still remember that. She does some really amazing things with her fashion. She's always trying new things, which I really love about her. Trying new looks and new trends and making some really unique pieces. So very fun blog to follow.
Yes. Katie Makes a Dress.
Katie Makes a Dress. Oh, I absolutely love her blog. She recently made, I think it was for So Frosting, she made this nude bustier undergarment thing and then this like bright coral lace overlay dress. It's so pretty. Like, it will blow your mind. We'll put it in the show notes. So beautiful. And she's always having a lot of fun with prints and fabric. So definitely recommend going and checking out Katie.
Yes. Handmade by Carolyn. Carolyn makes her own shoes, which is so cool. She also does a lot of Alabama Channon style garments with all of that hand sewing and reverse applique. So she is super, super inspiring, and she makes some really cool garments that you can get inspired by.
Yeah. Another person that immediately came to mind was Debbie from Lily Sage & Co. I've been following her blog for ages. She is quite possibly, in my opinion, just like the height of frosting. Like, some of the things that she's made, they're so dramatic, and she's dramatic looking. She's very tall and lithe, and she's got really short hair, and she just like pulls it off like nobody's business. It's absolutely incredible. So go check out Debbie.
Yeah. And I want you guys to let us know who you are inspired by for this, because we were putting this together and I know there are so many more people out there that we could get inspiration from for this challenge or for just sewing frosting in general. So send us some DMs and emails and let us know who sews the best frosting in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up. Okay. The last couple ways that you can find inspiration. The first one would be the runway, which is pretty obvious, but I don't think that we often look at the runway for inspiration in the sewing community. But if you're looking for frosting inspiration, that is the place to go.
That's where all of the fashion begins, right? And it trickles down and gets diluted down into what we see in stores. But the runway is really where all of the inspiration happens and all of the excitement. So it is really fun to look at the runway. I don't look at it enough, actually.
I used to when I was in school a lot.
Oh, yeah.
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 Style.com or whatever.
I don't watch runway shows, but I really enjoy looking at the editorial photo shoots of the clothes, like for designers. One of my favorite websites to follow along with is Honestly WTF.
Oh, I love that.
And they cover interiors and art and DIYs and a whole range of topics, but they also do fashion. And every once in a while, they'll have a really great editorial spread with just loads of good visuals, good inspiration, some good pinnable things. So it's really fun.
Love it.
Yeah.
And definitely go check out the Sew Frosting hashtag. We will link it in the show notes. There are over 1,300 hashtags right now while we're recording. I'm sure there will be many more because the deadline for this challenge is coming up on us.
Yeah.
By the time this comes out, it'll be over.
Yeah, but I mean, sewing is never over.
That's so true. It's not over till it's over, people. But go check out that hashtag because there's tons of great inspo in there.
Yeah. Are you making a frosting anything for the holidays?
I think I should, because we're going to Shay's Christmas party. Otherwise, I would have nowhere to wear it. But we're going to Shay's Christmas party for his work mid-December.
Oh, fun.
I think so. I might whip something up.
That'd be fun.
I was thinking of doing something with stretch velvet. We'll see.
Yeah. I got some of that crushed stretch.
This is an episode of tongue
tied. I got some of that crushed stretch velvet from your shop. And I was going to make a bodysuit and then a True Bias Ogden cami lengthened into a dress out of your Cupro viscose twill in black. And I got the stretch velvet in like a lilac color. Oh, and I'm just going straight back to 1998.
I wanted to go opposite. My idea in my head for like a frosting was like a long velvet dress, like a long velvet like cami dress and like a just like a rib knit Nico top underneath or something.
That sounds amazing. I mean, we're not going to the same party, so matching it'll be fine. Opposite. That'll make for good, some good photos.
Yeah, totally.
Well, good luck with all of your frosting projects. Please tag us as well if you feel so inclined. We'd love to see them.
Yes, please do. Bye. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Thank you to our sponsor, Spoonflower. Go to try.spoonflower.com/love to sew to get your coupon code.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/love to sew for more info.
You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.ca and Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com. Our show is produced by Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
And thank you all so much for listening. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. So, hi, Algeria.
Hi to all.
Why is that so hard? Hi, Algeria.
Hello to our Algerian listeners. Nailed it.